Welcome to Our Curious World with Christian Lander. The guest joining me this evening for a conversation is Mark Steele. Mark Steele is a heavyweight proponent of the technological rollout that's happening across our country and in much of the Western developed world, is that of 5G. 5G, in Mark's expert opinion and background, appears to be highly dangerous to life, and it is a position that has caused him great controversy. Now, he joins us on a conversation. Now, I have to say, I typically don't do an introduction to a video before I talk to a guest, preferring myself and the guest just to roll with it. However, it does come this time with an exception, is when we came to recording, it appears that the gremlins were certainly in effect at the beginning of our recording. My internet connection was continuously being disrupted. The conversation between myself and Mark over Skype was also being separately interrupted, even on mobile, on a different network to my home network. This appeared to be someone, perhaps, listening in who perhaps did not want our conversation to take place. But nonetheless, we did get there in the end. It was a very thought-provoking conversation. So here is my conversation with Mark Steele. So Mark Steele, then, you are currently campaigning and putting over a public debate and a public demand for a check upon what is happening with 5G technology. So I guess really my question to you first, why is 5G dangerous? Because I guess we've been having 3G and 4G over the course of the last 10 years or so, and these are dangerous to some people. So what is the danger of the current technology we have currently in our mobile phones that are just always to the outside of us?
Well, let's start off with your 1G. You had 1G, you know, in the early part of the 80s, so 2G, 3G, and this is where you started to see digitized signals. So basically the compression of information in a waveform, basically energy in air. So it's, you know, microwave radiation in air, and you then populate that waveform with a lot of information. The more information you populate into it, the more complex it becomes and the more deleterious it is to biology. Because obviously that iteration of signal, you know, I mean, you could, it's a lot faster than that, but to give people an impression, a bit like a jackhammer. So, you know, not natural radiation. This is man-made radiation, and it started off with 1G. And eventually, you know, like the boiling frog experiment, everybody got on board, got used to it. But as you got to 5G, 5G is not like that. 5G is not telecommunications. 5G is actually, in fact, a weapon system. It's got nothing to do with telecommunications between mobile devices or human interface devices. It's for machine to machine interface. It's got nothing to do with you. And one of the things that the mainstream media are starting to put out is 5 gigahertz frequency phones. It's pretty interesting that. So you know the new phones, yeah. Higher frequency operated, 5 gigahertz. 5 gigahertz is not 5G. The difference is 5 gigahertz is the frequency of the waveform. The 5G is a weapon. One's a weapon, one's a signal frequency. Two completely different things there to confuse you. So your new 5 gigahertz phone is not 5G.
Where do you think that confusion comes from? Because I guess when we talk about 4G, 3G, everyone thought, like you say, it was the waveform, it's the gigahertz frequency rate that it's operating at. Well, of course, if you actually go into your phone settings, you can often see what the individual frequency of your SIM card is sending out, supply access of your phone. So, yeah. With 5G, are we talking about a signal that's designed to manipulate or disturb human physiology or animal physiology? How does that work?
I'll define 5G for you. 5G doesn't matter what it operates at, it's more. So it's called densification. So it's a significant increase. So any IoT that you bring into your home, you know, if I built a home with 20 devices in there, that's basically 5G, because the more you get in the 5G antenna is the other technical parameter, but it doesn't have to be, because you've got to remember, you know, 5G is a broad church. It's an amalgamation of a lot of different technology. It's not a specific, technology, and it hasn't actually fully formed yet.
I understand that. Okay.
But what I can most certainly tell you, how you would know 5G apart from any other G, high gain dielectric lens, Because a normal transmitter, a more normal antenna system, and any mobile device, they mainly operate on what's called a dipole principle. So they radiate over distance in all directions. So when you get a certain distance away from an antenna, the radiation drops off significantly. Where 5G is slightly different than that, it relies on high gain and also what's called a dielectric lens. Now that allows, this is specific to 5G only, and this actually allows you to fire a signal like a laser. In layman's terms, a bit like a laser signal of energy at your target. Okay. It's what's called a DEW weapon, direct energy weapon. So that's where that comes from. So the dielectric lens is what you define 5G. So 5G is a lot of things, but it most certainly is anything with a directed signal. Now, anybody who wants to do a bit of research, going up, Bloomberg spoke about the 5G array that was being used in South Korea to shoot the wild boar. So what you can do, you can actually look into its environment. And this is another thing about the 5G. The 5G rollouts in the sub-gigahertz range. You know, we're talking about higher frequencies. It is that. But its main rollout today across the West is in sub-gig. And the reason why it's in sub-gigahertz, and this is the reason why I came across it, it's a battlefield interrogation, target acquiring interrogation system. So what it does, it actually interrogates its environment. And then you have this dielectric lens that allows you to pick out the target acquiring system, and you can then pick out that target. And you can fire a signal at that target that would be pretty lethal. And they're called direct energy weapons. So if you want to have a look at a 5G antenna, specifically the 5G I'm talking about here, so we're not talking about the broad-based idea of 5G, which is just densification. We're talking about the specifics of 5G having this dielectric lens, which allows you to collimate the signal. It's all military stuff. Yeah. It's all military. It's all weapons-grade equipment. The part of the sub-gigahertz part of the spectrum was actually nicked from the military for battlefield interrogation. It's in Civvy Street now. Unbelievable, because what you also have to remember, this technology is untested on populations. Now, we know that in exposure in laboratories to any of this type of this microwave radiation, it causes significant deleterious effect on animals, small animals, rats. There's lots of evidence there to show them developing cancer, DNA damage, etc., etc., etc. I mean, it just basically obliterates your biological structures in small-bodied animals. Now, in Nuremberg Code, I cannot experiment. 5G is an experiment on the population. Without your full knowledge and acceptance, and in particular, the fact that it's been shown in a very, very many, I mean, I'm talking thousands here, of laboratory studies to cause harm, you can't test it on the population. So we've got this massive, illegal, unlawful humanitarian crime being perpetrated on the people of the US, Great Britain, parts of Europe, Germany, Switzerland, all these parts of the G7, where they've been exposed to an experimental waveform, basically sub-gigahertz, that has been shown on the battlefield to be a class 1 cancer-causing radiation. Some interesting data just came out of Israel. Israel's one of the only countries where they're now not deploying 5G. I'm going to dispel a lot of fears. They were going to deploy 5G until this latest epidemiological study's been carried out about the phased array aspect of the scanner. So, the 5G scanner, so it can look into its environment. That part of the equipment, where it's been used on battle space, has been shown to cause significant neurological disorders and also cancer. So the data, there's a latest research study that's come out of Israel where they've assessed troops who've been in theater, and they have been developed cancers and it's all down to this battlefield interrogation. So we've got a battlefield interrogation system running up on top of street lighting in your near locality. Anybody who has LED street lights, new LED street lights, it's most probably got 5G. The LED street lights alone are quite lethal. They're a pulse modulated blue phosphor coated, get a bit technical here, 450, 460 nanometers frequency. So it's got that blue haze. So anything where it's got that sharp bluey haze, it's a blue phosphor coated LED. They are lethal. They've only been in Barcelona 3 years and they've been shown to increase the breast and prostate cancer, double it. And they've only been in for 3 years. And I can tell you the latency, we don't know what it's going to be, but it could be 25 years out before we see peak epidemic. Now, we're not going to see that peak epidemic because if we don't stop 5G, we'll all be dead in 5 years. And I'm not making it, you know, I understand its weapon system. It's one of the reasons I broke cover. I do not give a fig. I've been threatened. I've had lots of things going on. I've had, you know, coppers to the, I've had the police to the door that many times because of what they have been saying is I'm frightening people. I'm frightening people by telling them the truth. I'm telling the truth that their local authority has rolled out a weapon system on top of them. I'm not saying that they're counselling you. They didn't have a clue. I mean, the, you know, we're talking about some of the thickest people that you'd ever meet. You know, these people are so ignorant. It's embarrassing when you actually have to have a conversation with them. They're so dim-witted. But I do believe that's deliberate. It's a deliberate ploy where, you know, you have some of these people and you sort of scratch your head and think, you know, how can somebody in such a position be so dim? Well, I think it's deliberate. It's deliberate because this plot, this 5G plot's been in the pipeline for a significant number of years. Good thing is, we're too early. The fact that they rolled it out in Gateshead where I live, and the fact that I had a couple of neighbours who were bleeding from the nose, I'd had a few dodgy sleepless nights, sore shoulders, sore eyes. Always wear protective eyewear. It's a must. Central nervous system, cancers, it reduces that. So always wear protective eyewear. Anywhere and around microwave radiation emissions, it does give you a modicum of protection. So if it hadn't been for that, you know, the neighbour knocking on the doors with the nosebleeds. I mean, at the closest transmitter to me, it's about 40, 50 metres. But we've got people where they're about 5 or 6 metres from their bedroom windows. In fact, we've got pictures of transmitters right next to children's bedroom windows where it will kill those children. Those children will die from the exposure to these transmitters. Now, I know that sounds unbelievable, but unfortunately it is absolutely correct. Well, one of my neighbors knocked on the door and she was bleeding from the nose, and I said to her, well, can't be the LED street lights, Debbie. And she said, no, since I put the LED street lights in, I'm bleeding from the nose. Honestly, sorry, I didn't really take much notice. I spoke to another neighbor about Debbie. She then confirmed she'd never had nosebleeds in her life. She'd started to get nosebleeds since put the LED streetlights in. Wow. We've now got hundreds of people in Gateshead talking about nosebleeds, children having nosebleeds, women having nosebleeds who've never had nosebleeds before. We're talking about women in their 40s.
Is this because, say, there's the frequency that's happening of the rapid amount of information coming, also the rapid amount of concentrated information through the air? So is that what's causing the brain to perhaps vibrate too much? Is it causing the nose to bleed? How does that work? Because I guess my biology perhaps is a little rusty.
Yeah, well, the microwave radiation, what it does is increase your blood pressure anyway, because obviously just temperature, basic physics, increases your blood pressure. But what it actually does, it damages the blood, the cells in the blood, and it causes a thing called relay. And relay is where you start to get blood stuck. It's why radar operators get nosebleeds. They die of cancer as well. But they get nosebleeds, and it's one of the things that I knew it was an issue for radar operators, and that's the reason why I started investigating. Once I started investigating, that's where it really gets interesting.
Yeah, so I guess, so what's your background, Rex? Obviously, you talk with some knowledge of expertise. How does that, where does that information come from? Where did you gain your expertise in this field?
I was originally, I worked on a secret project, which I can't tell you about, in Northern Scotland a number of years ago. I was a young engineer. It was covered in the Official Secrets Act to understand about high RF signals and how dangerous they were. And I then went off in the oil and gas industry, worked on quite a number of different projects, did things with some phased array equipment, and understood quite a lot of things in battle space for a lot of different other reasons, weapon sight systems and stuff like that. And I've got a background in that. Okay. My real background is material sciences. But obviously you migrate depending on, you know, what you're working on. And how I became expert in this particular field, I started to invent, just basically using my imagination, started to invent a number of products to mitigate battlefield interrogation systems. So obviously I had to do a lot of in-depth research into battlefield interrogation systems, and obviously so that I could invent products to mitigate those, that type of weaponry. Because it's classed as radar, but it's actually sophisticated weaponry as well. So I started looking at that, started inventing a lot of things in this particular space, a lot of weapon type systems, etc. So I had a really good understanding of it, and I used to, and I'm a pattern writer, so I write patterns. I'm technically competent. Obviously, you have to be. If you're going to get a patent, you have to be able to understand what's actually in that space. If you don't know what's in the space, then your patent, you just, you know, you'll be blowing quite a lot of money now, very, very expensive. So you have to be pretty state of the art to understand what's going on in that space. Now, a lot of it's not. A lot of it is classified, but the effects on the battlefield. Now, obviously, if I look at the battle space today, you see a significant number of troops coming back from these areas where they are now suffering significant neurological disorders. And the suicide rates are at epidemic levels for veterans. Yeah. The reason for that, they've got brain injuries.
And so on this suicide note, regarding, say, the significant wars that we've been involved with over the past, say, 20 years or so, the PTSD rates are astronomically high. I mean, from Desert Storm 1 and 2, to what's happened in Bosnia and Serbia, more recently, of course, with Afghanistan and Iraq. That appears to be the main problem once they come back, is that they all talk really highly of PTSD, neurological damage. Do you think in the active environment of, say, of a war theatre or a battlefield theatre, as you talk about there, are they, sorry, I hate to use the word they, but is there testing going on our own troops, shall we say, as well as the enemy combatants? No.
I don't think it's just it's a fallout of the technology. It's what, you know, the technology is so advanced, and it's so impacting on the battle space. Then obviously the collateral damage are your own troops. So you know you'll get troops where they've never been off a camp. No, they've never even seen any. You know, they've never seen any blood. They'll come back and be significantly neurologically challenged. One of the smoking gun sort of pieces of evidence, you know, troops that have been in battle space, you know, they're 50 times more likely to commit suicide. And if you look at female troops coming back, they're 250 times more likely to commit suicide. So if you look at the reasons behind that, I always look at body density. One of the protective parts of microwave radiation pollution is body density. And, you know, you hear about a lot of children getting larger these days, putting a lot of weight on. Well, the body's defense mechanism, for some inexplicable reason, there's a few hypotheses out there to suggest what may be happening. But when you expose, in animal studies, microwave radiation in animals, they put weight on. It has been shown in a number of significant studies where the body's defense mechanism, for some very, very interesting reasons, we're not really sure yet, but put weight on. So we've got an epidemic of children putting weight on. We've got an epidemic of children having issues with their hearts in primary schools,
yeah,
so much so that we've got primary school headmasters. This is absolutely appalling, buying defibrillators to put into schools now because children are having heart episodes. I mean, this is absolutely unbelievable.
So why do you think this is perhaps only happening in, I hate to use the term, Western countries? So you talked about Britain, America, and places where there's a high level of communication, you know, rollout of technology. So is this happening, is this not happening, say, in the developing world? Is this only happening in the G7 countries, or focused-wise?
I'm not reaching, you know, some of these developing countries, the data is not available to make any sort of assumption at all about what's going on. What's quite interesting is a lot of people from developing countries are coming here and then developing significant illnesses. If you stick to the facts, and I think that's why the problem with gated council and others.
Yeah, so what happened with that? So I guess, I mean, I don't know how long you've been a proponent of this, been arguing against 5G. So how long has that been?
I was basically forced into this. You know, I've had this imposition put upon me, basically from a moral perspective. I understood about the technology I've invented in the space, and obviously when I came across it, I didn't really have much choice but to make the local authority aware that they had fitted a illegal, unlawful technology, a totally untested, unregulated piece of equipment, basically off the bat. I didn't tell them it was off the battlefield, because obviously they'd think they were mad. But what I told them was it was illegal and unlawful, and it needed to be removed. They put it here secretly, covertly, without any public consultation, without any environmental or health impact analysis, all in breach of parliamentary law, by the way.
What was their response initially?
Well, I wrote to them in private and I said, look, this technology's dangerous. It is illegal. I suggest you roll it out illegally, roll it back in illegally, and nothing else will be said. And they basically blew me off. So then I started making a noise. I've never been an activist. I've never done anything remotely like this in the past. I've never been one for, you know, being in the public eye. I've always been behind the scenes, whether it be in business or other. I'm not one for wanting to be in the limelight at all. Unfortunately, like I said, I've been forced to come out into the open to get this information out, because it's such an existential threat, security threat. I mean, we now know that the equipment's Chinese. We now know that, you know, this is controlled from China. We've had the head of MI6 talk about it. We've had the head of the Ministry of Defence. They get the information. The minister gets his information from the ministry's own intelligence groups, so military intelligence groups within the MOD. They advise the minister. So he's gravely concerned about 5G. I'm more than gravely concerned about 5G. And what's really unbelievable, local authorities are still rolling it out. Local authorities are being hacked. Now, who's hacked them? I'm not sure, but we will find out once we start to get one or two of them locked up and interrogated by, you know, some intelligence groups or some police force that will take action against them, because what they're currently doing is illegal. Absolutely.
I was going to say on that point then, so do you think there's some kind of sponsorship or some kind of payoffs effectively in local councils and governments where they're going, you know, you could roll out this technology here, the new technology along with the new phones are coming, we require this technology to be in place to have all the new phones, new technology available, or you'll get subsidies of some kind? Do you think that's perhaps a subversive way how they've brought this in, so I guess covertly?
No, I think the narrative is councils have been told they've got to look for some very sophisticated ways to make money. So what their plan was to spy on, and what they were going to do, they were going to check your bins. They're going to use the scanner to look in your bins, to look in your home. So when you use products using the new radio frequency identity tags on all products, once you've actually dispensed with the product, you put it in the bin. It allows the council, they can either back charge a tax on the packaging, they can charge you, or they can then advertising replacement to your smart TV. That's what the plan was. But this goes back to how thick they really are, because obviously this is a class one cancer causing radiation. And if you actually look at the technology, from my perspective, it's not for scanning your home, it's not for checking your bin, it's not for interrogating its environment. It's yet interrogate you and pick you out as a target. So that's what it's really for. It's just there a little bit on the dim side. But obviously you've got to try and sell this technology somehow. So they've sold it to councils. Councils have went headlong into buying into this. They've been given grants from central government to buy into it. You know, this is unproven experimental technology, including the LED streetlights that have now been shown to be lethal to humans, and they're rolling it out without any care, any reference to the law. The law's pretty straightforward. You know, it's a blunt instrument. There are parliamentary acts state that they must do public consultation, you know, on environmental and health impact analysis. And the reason why they haven't done any of it, it would fail.
There is something I've noticed, I guess, because I guess for some people, a lot of the tech talk could, you know, it's very difficult for people to process that. Some people say, I'm not a technophobe, I don't know anything. And I think there's a rather interesting observation that I've made, and perhaps it's something you've seen yourself. Over the years, of course, you know, when we get to this time of the year, all the trees and the leaves start dying off all the trees and so on. But when the lights were how they were before, the fluorescent light bulbs, trees that were around lights generally still photosynthesize. They actually got the light from the lamp, as it were. Now, I've noticed the ones that are now LED-based, the leaves are no longer there this time of year. Yeah, I get a dedicated bus that I come back from pretty often. And I've noticed over this particular year, the lights, of course, have been changed to LED lights, and the leaves have not remained on the trees throughout the winter. And I was like, that's an interesting observation that I think we can all make and all go, okay, there's something very different here happening to what was happening before. This light is clearly an unnatural form of light, and the frequencies of what are being given off. And I find that workplaces now, my own workplace, has replaced all the fluorescent light tubes, all the fluorescent light bulbs within the workplace, all with LED strips. And they're doing it on a... And I've asked the question, and they say it's a purely a cost-based measure. They're much cheaper to run. That they, if one bulb fails, we don't have to replace the whole thing, and you can buy a whole strip of like 200 LEDs, whatever, relatively cheaply compared to fluorescent light bulbs, which have a huge environmental impact. And when you ask about the environmental impact of LEDs, they're like, there isn't any. And I'm like, there is.
There is. No, that is. It's all a bit, it's all part of this green. The green agenda really looks like, you know, the carbon dioxide, this mythical carbon dioxide emission. Basically, just want to try and get rid of a lot of humans. You know, I mean, you're starting to see the epidemiological data on the impact from these technologies. It is absolutely horrendous. You know, they're not safe. They were never safe. They would never pass anything. Consequently, being exposed to it totally illegally and unlawfully. And some people might go, well, you know, we need to reduce the population a little bit. Well, guess what? 5G will kill everything. 5G is not here to, you know, I hear these conspiracy theories about, you know, the UN agendas and all this stuff about, you know, depopulation. What a complete load of... 5G's annihilation event. Once that weapon system's fully operational, then you come back 20 years after it's operational by 2025, and believe us, you'll not even think that humans have been on this planet, because this won't just destroy all biological life, it'll destroy all structures. These signals can destroy concrete, brickwork, fabric of buildings. You could pull a city down with what's called these direct energy weapon systems. They can decimate and smash and destroy, you know, depending on the frequency. And the equipment that's been currently rolled out has that capability. And not only has it got the capability, it's not secure. So the operating platforms could be operated by anybody who wanted to pull the switch. So consequently, I say to everybody, do your own research on 5G. In fact, it was in the mainstream just, I think it was yesterday or the day before, on Russian TV. And the comment was, There's only one problem with 5G, it will kill you. So, the mainstream are saying it'll kill you. I'm going to tell you, it most certainly is a weapon system and will kill you. I think it's about time people started to wake up and got their act together and get these criminals, these absolute out and out monsters, and get them taken to
I guess
account.
is there speculation about who the instigators of the technology are? So it's at its birth, as it were. This is a plan, we want to roll it out. It's going to take a number of years to put in place. Are we talking about, do we know who those people are and what would their intention would be? I guess the intention, like you say, is to depopulate, or is to eradicate people overall. I mean, so who would benefit from that if we're all going to get killed?
Nobody. That's the thing you see. 5G is an economic terrorist attack. So in the first instance, there's lots of different narratives. There's lots of different narratives, and there's lots of different bits of speculation and theories about what it is and what it isn't. But what I'm going to tell everybody, 5G will smash, destroy everything. There's no money in it. Because you hear that one all the time. Oh, well, somebody's making a lot of money. Nobody's making any money. In fact, P&G, one of the largest energy companies in the world, has just filed for bankruptcy. And the reason why they filed for bankruptcy is because of the smart agenda that they have been rolling out in California. So what they've done, they've ended up with a lot of equipment failing. So yes, smart meters bursting into flames. If I've got a dielectric lens and you've got a smart meter, and I'm talking to your smart meter, I mean, obviously, smart meter, where there's any gas, any sort of issue with intrinsically safe equipment. I mean, normally you don't want anything that's got any sort of energy field around it where you've got gas. So you've got these smart meters stuck with near hydrocarbons, and consequently you've got a 5G laser. Well, that's in layman's terms, it looks like a laser. It's actually called a maser. So you've got this microwave radiation signal that you're going to focus at an antenna, receiver, and antenna in the smart meter. You're going to have a fire.
Is that when it travels through the gas to the device itself, that's
You
when
could
it would
potentially,
be.
yeah, you've got the, you've always got the potential wherever there's energy, any energy, right, where you've got hydrocarbons gassing off, potentially. You've got a problem. And I mean, the buildings in California, absolutely. If I put 30 or 40 smart devices in a home, and then they're all pumping 20. I mean, because this is another thing, people that that only on intermittently. I've never had so much garbage in all my life. These smart meters are on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I mean, you've got chairman for British Gas turning out and saying, well, it only emits 4 times a day. And I mean, get a meter, measure them. They're on all the time. They're using energy. They're actually using energy to send a signal. And what they're doing, they're filling your home full of microwave radiation, breaking down the fabric of your building. By the time you get 20 or 30 of those devices in a building, you've actually got a toxicity level that is catastrophic. It's breaking down the fabric of the building. So consequently, when you get an initiator, a powerful enough initiator, whether that be from a smart dielectric lens to attack your home, or maybe a short, anything in an electrical system, maybe an element blows in your cooker, the next minute you've got initiation and the whole house just explodes. Because you're priming the house with energy. Basic physics once again. You're pouring the home full of energy, and the next minute you've got an initiator and the whole house, and not only do you not find the house, but there's nobody inside it, because it's also pulverized you to dust. So there's no nothing left of you. So in these images that I see in California, now I did actually see, as there'll be people out there going, no, no, we saw dual weapons, these direct energy weapons. Yes, I did. I saw some pictures, actual pictures of a dual weapon being used in California. But I'm going to tell everybody, that's a smoke screen. And the reason it's a smoke screen, most you operate in outside of the visible spectrum. The only part of you that operates in the visible spectrum, and you can see them, is the ones, the pictures. People go and have a look. You can see the pictures on the internet. That was a smoke screen. That's like me as a sniper going off to, let's say, you know, shoot some president at some time and actually put a put a tracer around in the gun.
That was the
you know,
yeah, put a tracer on the bullet.
Put a tracer on the bullet so you can see where it's come from. I mean, absolutely ridiculous. So the whole thing about the dual weapons that were used, and I did see them. You've got to remember, I mean, somebody's got to put a helicopter up there or some of that a bit of aircraft to carry the dual weapon. So they put an aircraft up, fired a dual weapon. People have got to ask themselves, why? Why would they do that? Well, I'll tell you why. The hypothesis is this is an inadvertent fire. So those fires in California weren't deliberate. They were just initiated by the vast amount of smart equipment and the smart devices in those buildings. So when you see the buildings totally explode from the inside out, the trees and the bins, the plastic bins are still perfectly all right outside. And that's, and the reason for that's because the building's just exploded and it's burned down in such a quick, it hasn't had time to set fire to the houses or heat the trees up. Hasn't had enough time to heat the trees up or the bins up, actually get them to burn at the same time. And it also accounts for some of the images of the metal where it's all twisted. You know, because obviously if you can initiate and you've already, you know, you've already pulse modulated that material for a particular length of time, it's also going to move and possibly warp and bend.
I was trying to understand what you meant by it's inadvertent. So like they tested it and it was a bit like, oh shit, we set fire to the woods, let's leave it. Because if we admit it, then we admit we have this technology. So we'll just leave it to burn out. I mean, I guess... with that, so how would you activate it intentionally if that was an inadvertent one which caused a huge catastrophe across California? I mean, would...
well, can you imagine if everybody worked out that smart, because smart is secret militarized armaments and residential technology. So let's say everybody works out what smart really is and they start not buying them or start to take them back, start to buy dumbed down equipment the way that we did in the 80s. And start taking it back. Well, believers, you know, the plan for wanting to get rid of us all starts to spread out pretty quickly, doesn't it?
It does indeed. I mean, my daughter has a smart meter at her house, and I did warn her about doing so. I mean, we haven't got one here at all. But it's amazing the amount of advertisements and news bulletins and, you know, post-it through that comes through the door going, oh, we've got smart technology running out, rolling out in your street. You know, please sign up now. You know, they'll appreciate it. You can track your bills and you can keep it accurate. The one thing I have noticed, and again, it's a lighter side of it, it's compared to what we're talking about. My daughter says that it's never accurate, what it is that she's tracking, whether it be on the phone or the device, that the measurement of it is never accurate. So, should it be smart, as in tracking your bill, it doesn't do that, because it's only ever estimated, and then you ring them up and they can't tell you either. Although, if it was smart to the point where it's measuring your kilowatts per hour, you should be able to give you an accurate reading to the minute. So it's odd that it doesn't do that, but as it is technology that has a more serious instigation about it, you can perhaps understand why they just want to get this out there as quick as possible.
That's the trouble. They've rushed the smart agenda. What actually happened, there's a couple of studies. There's a national toxicology study and the Ramzini has been going on for 10 years now. It's been published. It supports the NTP, that this is a class 1 cancer causing radiation. And consequently, you know, the people behind this, the monsters behind this, let's give them their real name, because they know, I know that they know, these monsters, unfortunately, had to rush it out, and they've rushed it out for a reason, because what they believe is once it's out there, people are just, you know, well, you know, it's here now. Well, guess what? No, it's not. We need to remove it. We need to... liability notices, we need to be writing liability notices. These people have broken a contract with us. We pay tax for protection. We pay taxes to, you know, for these people. We actually hand over our sovereignty to these people so that they will most certainly look after us. Once we've worked out the fact that they're not looking after us and they've got the worst intentions for us, then it's time to renegotiate that particular contract. And in law, the law's pretty straightforward. The law's for the benefit of man. You kind of just go around, start to kill them all, and tell you that it fits within the law, because it doesn't. And the Constitution's under attack. The laws and the legal system's under attack, and it's about time we got the information out. And that's the trick here. It's about getting the information out and getting enough people woken up to the fact. And I hope, some of my court cases have tried to do that. It's been quite instrumental in getting the information out, because, there's nothing better than a good court case for people to get themselves exercised.
So talking of court cases, of course, I noticed on the 14th this month, you attended court. What was the purpose of that? What happened with that?
The council's trying to commit me to prison, because they got an injunction on me upholding the law. They didn't get that. The injunction they wanted was to fully gag me. It would have been breaching human rights. And obviously the judge saw through that. But what he actually did, he gave them an injunction in relation to the law. So I can't offer violence, can't assault any of them. I can't abuse them and do that sort of thing. What they have done, they've come back and made up once again, because they did in the first case. They made up quite a bit of a lot of the evidence was fabricated. They actually entered forged documents into the. I mean, this is unbelievable. They actually entered forged documents into a court case that carry with it significant prison terms. They just don't care, and it looks like they've done the same again. Basically, hearsay, fabrication, what looks to be a significant forgery. We're not sure yet. That'll have to be tested in court. So we'll just have to see what's going on. They basically just can't handle the fact that I'm going around telling people that they are breaking the law, and they are in serious risk. And I mean, I've been trying to warn councillors. I've warned councillors. I've never had any replies from any of them. I'm really concerned that our democratic system's under attack. Obviously, not having any response. If I sent you a bit of scientific documentary evidence, you're not going to turn around and say, well, it doesn't make any sense to me. Especially if it's from somewhere like Harvard, Exeter University, or Barcelona University. You're not going to turn around and say, well, it's just, I don't. And I've had councillors say, well, it's just nonsensical. I had the mayor tell a constituent, they said, the science that I've seen, it's nonsensical. I mean, how can you have these people in these positions of power turn around and saying, organisations and universities, we're talking about published peer-reviewed research papers here. We're not talking about speculative documents. We're talking about fully published and peer-reviewed documents, and they're saying it's pseudoscience. That's what they said in the court case.
Wow, that's crazy. Because when it's peer reviewed, it means that it's been not only tested, it's been investigated, and someone else has also.
Absolutely. Well, the NTP study was actually published, peer reviewed, published in 2016. They've waited another 2 years. It's never been known before where it's actually been re and fully evaluated, and it still came back, and it's a Class 1 cancer caused radiation. They've just stuck it on a light outside your bedroom window, and that scanner will scan you through your brickwork, because those scanners, that 868, will look into the urban environment at significant distance. It's pretty sophisticated weaponry and battlefield interrogation.
So with that, is it? I can, in my head, I'm trying to formulate like a mental pattern for this. So is that really to like get almost an X-ray like pattern of a people?
It's just like an X-ray. Yeah. It's like an X-ray. You go in the environment. You get a signal back. You get a reflection back all the time. It's 868 million pulses a second. So it's basically in real time. It comes back to the processing piece, and then you just eventually just strip away the material until you see what it is that you're looking for.
Yeah, because I did read an article a little while ago in regards to how radar works today, and it was a completely unrelated article. And but the way that radar used to work is that it would send radio signals, it bounced off a reflective surface, they could kind of detect where it was. But I realised they had to turn that off a few years ago, or not use it in the way that it was, is that there's now that much electromagnetic background radiation. What's been generated by the Earth is that they actually now see the full shadows of aircraft using just the EM spectrum as opposed to using radar. Radar is now used as almost like a backup of it, really. And I was like, wow, is there that much radiation being bounced around in terms of the electromagnetic spectrum that's being broadcast around the world at any one time?
Compared to what it used to be, I mean, it used to be near zero, but you know what, we're talking about natural radiation's always been pretty high, but it's immersive. And I'll try and put that in, you know, it's like anybody, if you jump in the sea and just, you know, go underwater, and it can be pretty choppy, you're fine. You get yourself up against some rocks, and that sea's coming at you. You stop seeing trouble. And that's the difference, you see. This is the difference between natural radiation and the pulse modulation, and these 64 QAM signals, they're basically just smashing your cells, you know, they're coming off and just basically obliterating your biology. It's nothing that, you know, we've ever been used to, being exposed to in the past, ever.
I kind of see like how the press sells it and how the new technologies of the phones, like the Samsung or iPhone, whatever, they're talking about, well, we have a receiver in our phone that can receive much higher bandwidth of data. People want to be able to view YouTube no matter where you are. People want to be able to watch the videos and pictures and talk on the internet everywhere you go. And that includes in places where, you know, there's lots of layers of brickwork above you. So we need to get a signal through that brickwork to get to you. And I guess over the last 5 years, I would say, you've seen certainly an increase of, say, companies like, say, Vodafone and EE saying, well, we've now got, we can now get the signal into your house. No matter where you are, you'll have the greatest density of signals, no matter where you are, whether how much bricks you're behind. And it's like, when you examine it like that, to, say, a layman, they probably get that they're having to send faster and more powerful signals to that phone. And that's really what we're talking about, say, with 4G. Now, 5G is a much, much denser field of information being broadcast or directed to your device. Is that the right phrase to use? Is actually being broadcast directly to your device? Is that, or is it?
For 5G, it's directional. Yeah. The 5G scam is not real, by the way. It's a myth. If you've got in between, I've got my mobile device like this, all right, I get a 5G signal coming through my head like that. Brain injury is going to be the least of your concerns. So you're downloading a signal on a collimated signal through your head. It'll probably punch a hole through your head. That's what it'll do. Because that's what those dielectric lenses are capable of. That's how I knew it was a weapon system. It's not a telecommunications. That's just a myth. What they're going to do, sell you a device that it's going to kill you.
Like I said, it's been sold on the back of newer technology, and we need to get as many gigabytes to your phone as possible. We need to have cloud information, so we need to have back and forth information for your phone or your tablet or your PC to a satellite, I guess.
They've had to actually sell this technology to the people who are building it. You know, you've got to get a couple of engineers around, and you tell them, look, lads, we're going to send a signal, it's going to be so fast, I'm going to push it down a beam wave, and it's going to hit this mobile phone, it's going to be absolutely fantastic. What the real plan is, here's a target, here we can see it, fire a signal at it and kill it. That's what the real plan is. But the guys that are building the equipment out, I mean, the guys that are putting these phased array antennas up, they've got to have some of that, you know, because they're not thick.
I was going to ask about that. So I guess the engineers putting them in place, they either must know or have an awareness of the technology themselves.
Yeah, well, they've been told it's via TVs. It's to send a signal to an autonomous vehicle. But I can tell you now, by the time I had the radar of a single autonomous vehicle would be problematic to somebody with a pacemaker. There's a few bits of information where people have had pacemakers, you know, when the car starts to reverse itself into position, these new vehicles where they're reversing themselves. And I think BMW have had two or three cases of pacemakers being disrupted in heart issues with people. There'll be quite a few people have heart attacks walking past the car while it's reversing itself into its parking space. Without a doubt, it'll have already happened. It's just what happens. You wouldn't think, you know, you get somebody walking past one and have a heart attack and die. Nobody's going to think it's the car and the radar. But if you had one vehicle on the road and you've got radar pumping out, so you've got a lot of signal systems going on there. I've got my 5G antenna there and I'm sticking it down into your car. Everything's going fantastic. But what they forgot, that's one vehicle. If I had 50 vehicles on a city scale, and the amount of radiation from the radar, LiDAR systems and the signal systems, any human that's going to be anywhere near, you wouldn't be in the city, you'd be dead. You'd be dead. The cars would be driving around. I don't know what for what purpose the beings don't create wealth, don't use wealth. So obviously, what's all that about? It all looks a little bit strange unless we're just going to run into this autonomous world and just get rid of all the humans. Where do you create your wealth?
Yeah,
Wealth's,
wealth is
yeah.
generated by, economic movement, isn't it? So.
Well, there's something very strange going on about the whole thing anyway. The whole thing's a scam, let's be honest. It's to build out the worm system.
So, what's your, I guess your warning is your whole message, really. So, what is perhaps for your step? What's your next steps going forward? How is it? What's your? Have you got any more meetings with the council? Have you got any more with the judges?
No, I can't go anywhere near them. They've shut in the democratic process. You've got councillors who are screaming from the hilltops trying to get us locked up because obviously they're upset. I'm basically, I've made fools of them because they all said I was a bit of a conspiracy. It was a bit of a pain in the arse when they found out that I was actually an expert and that was actually proven in a court. So that was a bit of an issue for them. And since then, we've got a growing number of people waking up to the fact that they're bad heads, they're sore eyes, they're children bleeding from the nose, they're children dying of these very strange cancers, the brain cancers, etc., that we've got in the area, are now starting to attribute it to, which I always knew they would. Eventually, what will happen? People have just become more sick to the point that they realise that the sickness has happened for some particular reason. And the fact that I'm telling them what's causing it, it's proven to be pretty painful for the local authority here, because they are most certainly going to be in serious trouble. I mean, I would hate to be one of these executives in these local authorities, or anybody who's got anything to do with smart, anybody that's got anything to do with smart, the smart agenda, anybody anything to do with IoT. Those people will be held to account. The shareholders will be held to account. The companies will go and be held to account. So the directors, the executives, this is the greatest attack on humanity of all time. And unfortunately, we are 4 or 5 years ahead of the curve. So the story's getting out. Like I said, it was on Russian TV not yesterday. I think it's following in the US's and the multiples of millions. They've got a very, because it was RT USA, and I think the video stream I've seen this morning of it was up to 300,000 views. So people are starting to work out that 5G is what I've always said it to be, a significant risk. And all we have to do is just get the information out, get people to get up to speed, and let's get this bloody thing stopped. It's absolutely unbelievable. It is illegal and unlawful. The antenna designs are illegal and unlawful. They will not pass any regulatory standard. They'll not pass them. They're so dangerous, they will not pass any standard. So that's the trick. That's what I would say to everybody. Have a look at the Save Us Now party. Get involved. Set your own groups up. We do have time, but set your own groups up because and having an ideology, what the Save Us Now party is all about is the rule of law. It's about the rule of law, and it, because the laws are there to stop this. The laws are there, this should have never happened. If these local authorities had carried out, as they're obliged under law, public consultation, health impact analysis, environmental impact analysis, we would not have this technology on our streets. But the reason why they didn't carry it out is because they knew it wouldn't pass.
Therefore, do you, I guess the summarization there is that they allowed it to pass, therefore acting illegally, or they want it in place, which I guess it raises two huge red flags in itself, whichever one you're looking at.
It's absolutely, well, a massive red flag. Well, we've heard anecdotal evidence, people have been told in the local authorities, this is coming from the very, very top. Well, the very, very top, as far as I'm concerned, is not Beijing, because that's where the technology is coming from. Now, the expertise in building that technology may in fact be coming from California. So that tech was actually developed in California as weaponry. So it's coming from the ideas behind it are coming from California. The weaponry is coming from China. So anybody in any local authority who thinks this is coming from the very, very top, I don't know what top they're talking about, because what they have to understand, they are public servants. They serve us. They don't serve some mythical, it comes from the top, because these idiots, they're actually living in their own communities where they're killing their own children. I
That's
mean, how
what
mad's that?
constituents live, sorry, MPs live within, generally within their
Yeah,
constituency.
mental, it's mad, isn't it? That's what that just shows how stupid they are.
So you say you've had no responses at all. I mean, no, not a single even
Not
acknowledgement
a
from an MP?
s well, our first, our, well, not MPs, definitely not local councillors. I first got a response when I first kicked off about the whole thing, when the chief executive, the executive branch, just totally ignored me. And I got a couple of councillors who were pretty concerned. They then got involved, but is the narrative, as the information became pretty clear. What I didn't do, I'm a bit like that. I never tell everybody everything. I always give them a little bit. Because obviously, if you tell them if I'd went in, guns blazing and told them what was going on, this was like 2 year ago, they would have just went, the man's a complete lunatic. They would have had us off to some lunatic asylum.
Never to be seen again.
But now you've got MI6 talking about it. We've got the head of the Ministry of Defence talking about it. We've got other organisations talking about it across the world, concerned about this technology. Then I'm not, it doesn't sound so mad, but if I'd came out straight off the bat and told them what it really was, they would have probably had difficulty with it. So what I did, I teased them and just said, look, this technology's not safe. Sent them all the scientific documentary evidence to show it's not safe. The basic science, not the weaponry stuff, just basic science to show that it's not safe. They just did not give a fig. They were not interested in the slightest. A couple of councillors were, but obviously as I pushed and started to then draw them into the real issues of the technology, 5G, they just totally, and I believe they're being gagged. This is an attack on your democracy, not just an attack on on humanity. That is bad enough. They're attacking your democracy as well, because the democratic systems are in place. The evidence is there. Everything I've sent them is evidence-based. There's nothing, I don't say anything unless I can actually substantiate it.
Are those documents available publicly from your website?
There's documents on the website. There's some narrative, some abstract scientific documents, which are pretty interesting. Anybody who wants to have a look at the weaponry, go and have a look at Brundibbin Weapons, Direct Energy Weapon Systems. If you want to see it, as any collimation of energy basically can be turned into a direct energy weapon. I hear, I do hear educated fools on occasion tell people that there's not enough energy in this particular part of the spectrum. It's complete and absolute garbage. And the reason why a laser, you can get lasers in non, it's because laser light radiation is non-ionizing radiation. You can actually cut through stainless steel. And you still get these fools, they've got a little bit of an education. Some of them have got some of an education. Some of them have got some nice certificates to hang on the wall and pretend that they know what they're talking about. Haven't got a clue. Absolutely clueless. And the reason for that is because they've got this idea that there's a difference between non-ionizing radiation and ionizing radiation. It's the same thing. It's just one is has a higher frequency, is a little bit more powerful. Now, if at the other end of the spectrum, if you then manage the non-ionizing radiation in a way by focusing it, you can then change it into something completely different, make it pretty lethal.
So in regards to say what you do, you mentioned about there's things that you can do at home to protect yourself. So I guess not having smart meters in your home, rejecting that form of technology. What else can people do? You mentioned about eyewear.
I wear protective eyewear all the time anyway. Microwave radiation damages your central nervous system and causes central nervous system cancers, depending on the frequency. It's always best to wear protective eyewear. You shouldn't have to, but we do. Unfortunately, LED streetlights are pretty dangerous as well. So I always wear protective eyewear when I'm out and about, because this microwave radiation is ubiquitous. You know, as you're walking past people's homes, if anybody today wants to just check, go and see how many routers you can actually see on your device when you open it up. You've got dozens of routers all pumping through your brickwork, your concrete, actually invading your privacy and invading your home with someone else's radiation. Everybody that listens to you, you know, this information, get up to speed, do your own research and get active. You know, it's no good sitting on a computer, keyboard warriors. It's time to get out there on the streets. We've got to get this thing stopped. And we do have time, fortunately, but get involved. Get involved locally. Set your own chapters up. Set your own, you know, groups up. Just get involved and get it stopped. If you, you know, if you love life, if you want to live, I've never met many humans that want to die. If you want to stay alive, you are absolutely fighting for your life. Just nobody's told you, but you are. And if you look around, talk to neighbors, friends, you'll see cancer rates going through the roof. You'll see sickness. You'll see mental health issues, self-harm in schools. 300,000 people lost their jobs through mental health issues. 70,000 children self-harming in schools. I mean, when I went to school, there was nobody at my school that self-harmed.
No. Or just, I don't know how old you are. I'm like 37. And I went through school and college and stuff, and no one, to my knowledge, self-harmed. But perhaps these days we would talk about it more as well, and I guess that has to be not be discounted. But there is certainly... There appears to be, appearance-wise, there's more people now who appear to be on the ADHD spectrum, on the autism spectrum.
Yeah, all the same thing, yeah.
There's certainly more people today who appear to be getting really ill really easily, which I think is a bit odd. We never had that growing up at all, you know. We played out on the streets till late at night, so the sun went down and everyone came in, and everyone kind of got on with each other. Now, these days, I guess everyone's sat in front of a computer, but like I said, this is an LCD screen. I don't know how these also affect eyes and how these affect...
They're nowhere near as dangerous. You've got to, it's an RGB emission, so you've got to balance. And, you know, the thing with the streetlights, it's not a balance in that. You've actually got a blue phosphor coated, so you've got a 450, 460 nanometers frequency in that particular part of the spectrum. It is not natural. It's absolutely lethal. All the data, all the emerging data, this stuff is lethal. And, you know, you've got to remember... These local authorities have rolled it out. Somebody's made an absolute fortune, and some idiot has allowed them to put them out there without any risk assessment or anything. And if they had have carried out the risk assessments, the science is pretty straightforward, but dangerous.
It's scary to think there's no risk assessments been performed at all.
No.
And it'd be good to check them out. So I guess we, whoever listens to this, right, I guess we can all go to our councils and we'll get freedom of information asks. And go and check that, you know, quite easily, you know. When there's these devices that have been set up, 5 years have been rolled out, has there been any risk assessments? I think that's what we can all do, right? And if there's not coming back and there's no answers, you know, certainly it proves that that's not been done.
Well, if they come, they will come back, and what they'll say is they'll say it's fully been proven to be safe. And what we rely on the ICNIRP guidelines. An ICNIRP guidelines or a thermal value, basically cooking, so they're cooking you with microwave radiation. So they say that ICNIRP guidelines are fine, they cook you, but those guidelines only apply to small thermal impacts, not chronic exposure. What your council wants to do, they want to apply the ICNIRP guidelines, which are a cooking value, but they want to keep the cooker on. So they don't want the emission for 6 minutes as it is in ICNIRP guidelines. These idiots want it on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, basically putting you into a microwave oven. If I put a child into a microwave oven and a police officer saw me doing it, you get arrested.
Absolutely.
So why your council? Well, why is the council getting away with it? It's exactly the same thing. Yeah. There's a 5G, just to finish off, there's a 5G Killer Tech YouTube channel, which I've produced quite a lot of informative videos that people can watch so they can understand a bit more, you know, define what 5G is. They can see what the technology looks like. They can see what it operates at, and then they can start to interrogate their local authorities. There's a freedom information request format on the ServiceNow website, there's also a liability notice for councils. So if you've got one of these lights outside, if you're feeling sick, if you correlate that with your illness, write to your local authority, tell them to remove it, put them on notice. If they do not act, they have a duty in law, it's the Social Care Act, to benefit the you know, the locality and to you know, make people's life chances better, not worse. So consequently, they're obliged in law to protect you for in your and look after your health. The fact that they put that illegal, unlawful technology that's most certainly dangerous outside your home, you can do something about it. And what you do, you stop paying them. That's the first thing to do. Put them on notice, because obviously you'll send them. I'm getting lots of people getting FOIs back now. They're not in, they're not completed correctly. The councils are absolutely bricking it at the minute, because we are absolutely, and I'm not saying that they knew, they didn't know. They're starting to get to know now, because too many people start to ask too many questions. And obviously they keep seeing me popping up, getting arrested and stuff like that. This doesn't go down very well for the establishment.
Sure. Okay, Mike, so where can people find out more about you? Obviously, the website for Save Us Now is up on the screen, everyone can read. Is there any other websites and other ways that people can get in contact with yourself and to view any of the information that you've put forward? You said there's a YouTube channel. Just want to go over those social information contacts that once again, so people can double-check that information.
Yeah, it's www.saveusnow.org. It's all one word. .org.uk, and then we've got the 5G killer tech Mark Anthony channel, so that people can get the videos there, they can start to look at them, and there is a number of other websites. I did a talk at AV9, so if anybody wants to have a look at that, that gives you a great background on me, because I go through the product development cycle, how all products are developed, and how they all have to fit within certain safety parameters. What you can't do is bring products to market that make people sick. What you must do is bring products to market that people are going to enjoy, people aren't going to become sick. A lot of this killer tech, it's called killer tech because the people who are behind it are basically taking the piss, really are taking the piss. They call it killer tech for a reason. It'll kill you. So, you know, the order, you know, in plain sight, let's say, so people get up to speed, you know, your daft little earbuds that are radiating in your ear, in your Bluetooth connections and all the rest of it, they will make you sick. And I'm not saying that extremely dangerous. What I'm saying is, if you've got one, it's going to have a very small effect. But by the time you've got your smartwatch, your smartphone, your smart ears, your smart TV, your smart, you know, by the time you fill your house full of smart, yeah, you're going to die. It's simple. It's as simple as that. And it's all about the, you know, the impact of the amount of radiation that you're exposed to. This radiation is deleterious to biology. Fact. No ifs, no buts. That argument was put to bed 3-4 years ago. All right, so the science is absolutely 100% on point. This is dangerous to humans. The more you get, the more dangerous. That's just simple.
Thank you very much for taking the time out to join me here today. I really do appreciate it. But if I could just ask one more thing of you, you could just press like, dislike, leave a comment, or press subscribe. You could do any on all of those things, and it allows me to know whether I'm producing the kind of content that you want to listen to. I do produce a variety of content, especially on YouTube and out into the world of social media. So please, if you would, thank you very much. I'm Christian Lander. Until next time.